I'd like us to read this psalm and come back and look at a few of the things that it teaches for us tonight. This is a psalm of David. We're not sure at what point David composed this psalm, but it was used to be sung by Israel just as we did in meter. But as we work through the psalm, I want you to notice what David calls himself to do and why. Let us hear the word of God, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Israel, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and who remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, that we can gather here again tonight in the middle of the week. And surely we have already come to this point in the week needing your mercy and your loving kindness and your forgiveness and your faithfulness to us. We thank you that there are psalms like this that rehearse what you are like in your nature and show your compassion toward your people, toward those that fear you, not with a servile fear, but with a fear of faith. And we ask that you would help us this evening to understand this psalm and to understand what it calls us to do, as David himself called himself to do, to bless your name, to bless you. Help us to understand what that means and then how to do it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you think about it just for a minute, the idea of us blessing the Lord would seem to be almost a futile exercise in several ways. How could we ever adequately bless Him and tell of all His greatness and give Him the honor that is due Him? But secondly, how could we think that He would receive our blessing from someone who is so weak and inadequate to bless? And yet here is David saying to his own soul, stirring up his own heart, reminding himself of what he needs to do. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. We are called to bless the Lord. The word blessing has to do with giving honor, but also, especially in the New Testament, with giving happiness. And if you think for a moment that God would receive some kind of happiness or joy from our blessing of Him, it is really an amazing thing. We can understand Proverbs 31, where it speaks of the wife and mother who is so faithful to her husband and children, and the Bible says that her children rise up and bless her. We can understand that she ministers to her children and her children appreciate what she has done, and so they rise up and they bless her. They bring happiness to her. They tell her what she means to them. And we're to do the same to God. We are called to bless the Lord. And so David reminds himself that he needs to bless the Lord, and not just with a half-hearted blessing, not just out of duty. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. David will not allow anything within his own heart to hold back blessing the Lord. He will not allow anything to stay within him that somehow thinks of God as undeserving of blessing. It requires him to deal with himself before he blesses the Lord. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Nothing held back, an unrestrained blessing of the Lord. And if there is a point within him that somehow thinks that or is reluctant to bless the Lord at some point in his heart or life, he calls himself to account. All that is within us, in every situation, in every thought, we're to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he said. Bring blessing and honor and appreciation to God. Bring happiness to God as we come before Him and worship Him. Sometimes in the past we've talked about the joy that God has in bestowing mercy upon sinners. It brings joy to Him to take those who are unworthy of His blessing. He blesses them, and it brings joy to His heart. And then He calls those unworthy recipients of His blessing to turn around and give Him worship and praise. And the amazing thing is that also pleases Him and brings pleasure to God. And so David is trying to stir up his soul to remind him that part of his worship is to call himself to account to bless God in his entire being. And he does this in a certain way. He reminds himself why. And he gives himself fuel for blessing God. And he says, bless the Lord in verse 2, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. We are so forgetful. We are forgetful of the benefits that God has brought to us in the past, the promises of his benefits in the present, and the hope of a multitude yet of benefits in the future. We tend to focus on what we're doing right now in our present situation till it becomes so looming before us, so large, that we forget. And he reminds us what we're not to forget: the benefits of the Lord, who pardons all your iniquities, all of them, not some of them, not a few of them, not a partial forgiveness, not a forgiveness that is parceled out a bit at a time, dependent upon our faithfulness, but a full and free pardon of all of our iniquities. We're not to forget that. We're not to forget the iniquities that we have brought before the Lord, that we have committed against him in our past, and the free pardon that he has brought to us in spite of them, overcoming them. Who heals all your diseases? The Bible does not teach that God heals every disease without exception, because in that case there would be no death. And there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. But there are so many times that God has healed our diseases, not just to be attributed to doctors and antibiotics and things of that nature, but he is the one who controls our bodies, the heartbeat of our hearts. Every day we live upon God's will. And we're to remember that, especially at those times of mortality when we are ill and others have passed on before us. We are to consider how good and how faithful he has been to keep us alive to this point. Who redeems your life from destruction or from the pit? And I happen to be one of those that believe the Old Testament did teach about hell. And David exhorts us, not only himself, but us, to remember that God has redeemed our life from the pit. We are to think about the fact that there is a hell, that there is an accountability for sin, and that there is redemption in God and in Christ. We're to think about that. We're to think about the blessings that he has brought to us, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. In Jesus Christ, the relationship of God changes from wrath to mercy, from hatred to loving kindness. And he crowns his people with loving kindness and compassion. And he does not remove that loving kindness or compassion from his people's head. And verse 5 speaks of the blessings in this life that David experienced, and he called the reader to experience, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And you may say, well, I don't feel like an eagle flying around right now. But look back on your life. How many good things has God brought into your life? How many? How vast? Every good gift falleth from above. There is not a blessing in our life or the unbeliever's life that does not come from God. And we're called to remind ourselves of these things. Times when we thought we could not go on, and we woke up the next day and went on. times we face crises or situations that seem so overwhelming, we wondered, where would we get the strength to persevere? And we persevered. And so David calls to his own soul to remember all of these things, to continually remember these things so that he would think clearly and understand that there is good reason to bless the Lord, and that there is no reason to withhold that blessing. As if to deal with those who say, well, in some cases, I don't see his blessing. I don't see good reason to bless his name. He then begins in verse 6 to deal with situations that are difficult. In verse 6, he says, the Lord performs righteous deeds, or deeds of vindication and judgments for all who are oppressed. He now speaks of those who are under oppression, who suffer, who are in trial, or who have been persecuted, particularly by others. And he tells them, the Lord protects his people. Sooner or later, in this life or the next, those who oppress the people of God will be brought to judgment. And that in itself is a good reason to be careful and tender in the way we treat God's people, especially if they're in our own home, our own family, our own church. Our Lord Jesus Christ set a child in the middle of his disciples in Matthew 18 and spoke of him as a child who believed in him, a little Christian. And he told his disciples that if anyone causes this little one who believes in him to stumble, it would be better that a millstone be hung around his neck and be cast in the uttermost part of the sea. God is jealous for his people. And we need to remember that in the way we treat each other. And we need to be comforted by that, considering the way God's people are often treated in this world. There is a comfort in the midst of trial and oppression and persecution, not of self-righteous vindication, but there is a comfort in knowing that God still reigns in the midst of oppression, and he performs deeds of vindication. David understood that. And in verse 7, he said, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. It was in the midst of oppression that God redeemed Israel when they had lost all hope of freedom, all hope of living as the people of God. That is when God entered in and revealed himself in their deliverance. And verse 8 says, the same Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And that is how we're called to think of God. There are times when we may not think of him as compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, and yet the Bible stands before us and calls us to believe that by faith, to trust that that is true, and to live upon that truth. He says in verse 9 that he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. And apparently he is trying to say at those times when it seems as if God is striving with us, as he did with Jacob, he will not do it forever. For he is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and he has not dealt with us, in verse 10, according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. One of the reasons we soon lose the concept of blessing the Lord is getting out of balance and thinking that there is some thing that we deserve from him, when what we are called to remember is that he has not dealt with us according to our sins and iniquities. He has not rewarded us as we have done. In moments of self-righteousness, we might accuse God of not being fair. But according to the scriptures, we can never accuse him of that. Rather, we are called to bless him for his mercy. And to remember in verse 11 that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. He has not given us his mercy in bits and pieces. If we could imagine as high as the heavens are above the earth, then we would begin to understand the amount of loving kindness he has showered upon us. But we must see that through the eye of faith, understanding his greatness and his purity and his righteousness, understanding the degree of our sinfulness, so that we will rightly measure his mercy. And so he tries to illustrate that in verse 12 and 13 by saying, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, no longer having our sins to condemn us at God's judgment seat. If we could imagine where that point would be, so far has he removed our transgressions from us so that he does not treat us according to those transgressions anymore. As a father, a good father, has compassion toward his children, the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. And there may be times that one thinks, well, I want to bless the Lord, but things are so difficult. I do not see his way. I do not see his blessing upon me. And I do not see how much longer I can continue in this situation. And so David gives a promise to the believer that he himself knows our frame. And he is mindful that we are but dust. He knows what we can stand. He knows what we can take. And he knows how far to test us. And we have the confidence of the scripture that no temptation has overtaken us, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we are able to endure. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape, that we may be able to endure it. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. And he brings us back to understand the brevity of our life. There are many wildflowers out in Texas where we lived, and they would come for a season. And the heat and the wind would blow, and they would dry up, and they were gone. And so is our life. And to put such importance upon such brevity of things is irrational to begin with, but also unfaithful. Because David calls us in the midst of that brevity of our life to remember that the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those that fear him. That is what lasts. The mercies of God. The grace of God. The forgiveness of God. The redemption of God. His compassion. The things that he sets upon us by his grace and love and mercy. Those are the things that will never fade away. And because of that, we have every reason to bless the Lord. He even promises that His word will not return void to our children. To those who commit themselves to keep His covenant and who remember His precepts to do them, His word will not return void. He will bless it, for He always blesses His word when it goes out. And so in conclusion, He calls on the entire universe to bless the Lord, to bring honor and praise and adoration to Him, to make God happy with the praises of His people. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. So bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, that is, all of the heavenly creatures, those who have gone on before us, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you His works, in all places of His dominion. And never forget, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray. We ask, Father, that as we come to our time of prayer this evening and worship on the Lord's Day, that you would cause us to stir up our own hearts to bless the Lord, that you would not let any corner of our being be held back, that there would be no pocket of resistance to blessing your name, that we would be forced by the truth of your mercies, the forgiveness of our sins, the redemption of our life from the pit, the removal of our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, healing our diseases, blessing us in every way, renewing our strength. We ask that in all these we would be caused to remember and to bless your name. We ask that you would forgive us when we do not think to do so, either because we feel our blessings would be so inept or because we feel so unworthy. For you have called us in your grace to believe in your grace and to return to you the praises and adoration and thanksgiving and blessing that such gifts deserve. And so we pray that you would teach us to think daily from the perspective of the Scriptures, that you would cause us to believe the truths of the Scripture, the reasons why we should bless you, that you would cause our hearts each day to return to you the blessing that you deserve and to bring joy to your heart, that sinful creatures would be so changed, so redeemed, so forgiven, and so grateful as to bless the great God of heaven. Forgive us of our sins, we pray. Help us to believe in your compassion and your loving kindness, especially as we gaze upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and see there fully displayed all the blessings that you have for your people. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.